Mrs. Rachel Neuberger.
I'd like to focus on A, what the concept of Hallel is all about in general, B, what our unique avoda on Pesach night is, and then C, how the Haggadah is so carefully structured to dynamically get us there spiritually with passion and conviction. Much of what I'm about to offer can be found in Leil Shimurim by Harav Shlomo Brevda Zatzal. The point of Hallel at any time is to grant us personal clarity in terms of who Hashem is, specifically as a Moshiach, a Savior who has enormous power to save and has a great desire to save us. And most importantly, clarity in terms of Hashem's trustworthiness in keeping every bit of his promises. This trustworthiness is what the statement Ani Hashem in the Torah specifically is referring to, as Rashi states, Hane'eman b'haftachatai. Hallel doesn't just give us a clarity of who Hashem is. It also gives us a clarity as to who we as Jews uniquely are and what our mission in this world is. More than that, we are meant to react to that clarity of Hashem in ourselves with joyous declaration and song. This, in fact, speaks to the very essence of the Jew. As it says in Yeshaya, Mem Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Amzu Yetzarti Li Tehilati Yisaperu, this people which I fashioned for myself that they might declare my praise. The very word Yehudi, as we know, comes from the concept of hoda'ah, gratitude, recognition. And, aside from our general mandate to acknowledge Hashem's greatness, there are special occasions when we have a greater chiyuv to do so, and therefore are instructed to say Hallel. To understand the centrality of gaining clarity of who Hashem is, we similarly see its importance when it comes to blowing shofar. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet, points out that the Torah doesn't give an explanation for why one must blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It is technically a gzerat hakatuv. However, the Rambam goes on to offer a possible explanation, a very simple, logical one, that the shofar makes a loud noise and is meant to wake us up, hinting to us to wake up from our spiritual slumber and do tshuva. His words, Uru yesheni mishenatchem, v'hikitzu nirdami mitardematchem, v'chizru b'tshuva, v'zichru bor'achem. Remember my Creator, zichru bor'achem? I don't forget my Creator. I'm an Erlich a Jew, after all. Well, the Rambam continues, that being spiritually asleep means we forget the truth behevle hazman, we get sidetracked, and forget about fulfilling our very purpose for being in the world. As Rav Brevda explains, someone who's in a certain place to get a specific job done, but instead busies himself with other things, is like someone who comes to the Rav's drasha but falls asleep. His body is technically there, but he isn't. So one who doesn't fulfill his mission in this world is what the Rambam would call a yashen, a sleeper. When we are in Galus, we easily become spiritually asleep, distracted from our mission. As it says about Galut Bavel in Tehillim, we were kicholmim, dreamers, sleepers. And the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, very famously defines what, in fact, our purpose is in the world. Kavanat kol mitzvot, shena'amin belokeinu, v'node elav shehu bra'anu. And in fact, v'ein le'elyon b'tachtonim chefetz milvad zeh, number one, sheyeda ha'adam, and number two, v'yode le'lokav shebra'o. Or, as Habakkuk pithily stated, the basis of all the mitzvahs could be concentrated into one statement, tzadik bemunato yichye, to actually live your emuna. As the Vilna Gaon explains, this means bitachon, which is emuna bepoal, in action, and not just theoretical emuna, emuna bekoach. It's not enough to simply know Hashem exists, but you need to have trust in him such that you are ready to translate your belief into action. When we only had emuna bekoach, we could succumb to serving avodah zarah under the duress of Shibud Mitzrayim, whereas the normal essence of the Jew is not to succumb, even under pressure. So how do we know if our emuna is only theoretical and not emuna bepoal or bitachon ma'aser? The test is when something frightening suddenly springs upon you, lo aleinu. Do you get angry, hysterical, or even bitter? Do you have the self-discipline to calmly maintain, number one, your belief that nothing is happenstance and that you are not at the mercy of random forces? And number two, you have the strength to believe in the possibility of Yeshua and therefore the capacity to be calm in the face of chaos. When we lose it, and we do many times a day, at that moment when we flip, we have forgotten Hashem. We thought everything was upon us. And when we get overwhelmed, we're left with nothing but chaos. Remember the Kathy cartoon? It was a constant example of falling apart in the face of chaos. It always had the same next to last frame. Kathy would be in a situation, she would get overwhelmed, exploding and imploding, her hair shooting in all directions, letting out a primal shriek. And then the last frame was some amusing or bizarre insight after the fact. So, bitachon is the very opposite of the Kathy cartoon. As we said earlier, Hallel also grants us a clarity into the uniqueness of the Jew, who we are. To see the importance of that, we can look at the answer we give the son, who in the Haggadah is referred to as the Rasha. He questions what we are doing, and our response is, Bavor ze asa Hashem li b'tzeitim mitzrayim li velo lo. Because of this that Hashem did for me when I went out of Mitzrayim, for me and not him. Him? It should grammatically have said, for me and not you, lecha, if you're directly addressing the person. Truth is, we never intended to answer him directly, because he wasn't really asking a question. He was just ridiculing, using the guise of a question. So why then do we even bother saying anything? Why not ignore him and remain silent? The answer is that we need to say words of nurturance and clarity to ourselves. Why? Because the cynic's words cause a slight ping of hurt. We won't change our direction, but these small slings and pings can cause minuscule hairline fractures in our emuna. We are therefore fortifying ourselves in responding in a hakiat shinav manner to strengthen and re-clarify for ourselves what we deeply believe in. The whole purpose of taking us out of Mitzrayim was to give us the Torah. Before getting the mitzvot, we had to arrive at bitachon. We had to be woken up. Unlike the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem used a different means of waking us up before actually taking us out, and that was the makos themselves. The upending of the laws of nature showed us clearly that Ein Od Milvado, Hashem is the only ruling force in the world. And that clarity of Hashem as a result of the makot is what allowed us to progress in our journey towards bitachon, shifting from an emunah b'koach to an emunah b'poel. According to the Vilna Gaon, it is always a key word, process, a step-by-step process in action and dibor to get to a yesod. And interestingly, when an eagle wants to wake up its young, it does so carefully, in stages, as it says in Dvarim Lamed Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kinesher Ya'ir Kino Al-Gozalav Yirachef, Yifrosh Kinafav Yikachehu, Yisa'ehu Al-Evrato. He was like an eagle arousing its nest, hovering over its young, spreading its wings and taking them, carrying them on its pinions. An eagle goes through stages in waking up his young before taking them elsewhere. An eagle first tries waking up its young before taking them on a journey by making noise with its wings. It then goes into the nest and gently, intermittently touches them. And then to take them on a journey, he spreads his wings and finally puts them on its pinions, the bone of its wings. So there are steps of waking up before the process of taking out. And in the taking out, there are steps as well. So it was in taking us out of Mitzrayim. There were stages in the process of our journeying towards Bitachon that would be core to our meriting getting out of Mitzrayim. And through the Midbar until Matan Torah, we would have further tests developing our Bitachon. The wake-up call of the Makot was our real life experience. experience of Hashem's power and great love for us. This was not theory. This was actual personal experience. And that is why we have so many mitzvot that connect to the notion of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We gained such a clarity that we were willing to act on it, even to the point of Mesirut Nefesh. The flow of ideas in Hallel follows the chronological order of Hashem saving us through history, from past to present to future. Looking at actual past events gives a greater clarity to our ideology, as in Shema. After we've said Shema, which is a declaration of our theoretical beliefs, we focus on our actual experience of leaving Mitzrayim in Birchat Geula. This is critically important before saying Shmona Esrei. We have a concept of Lismoch Geula Letfila, which means there should be no separation between saying Birchat Geula and actually beginning Shmona Esrei. This focus on our origins in becoming Ovdei Hashem impacts directly on the whole quality of our tefillah of Shmona Esrei. Not just technically when we became Avadim, but what Hashem did for us in the process. Why is it crucial to look at that? By looking at what Hashem did, it triggers profound Hakarat HaTov. There is no comparison between Avoda from passionate Hakarat HaTov and Avoda that you think of as an onerous duty. It distinguishes between a relationship where you care and you love versus trying to get away with the minimum. We can see the power of the clarity of Hakarat HaTov in the Jewish people shifting from Emunah B'Koach into true Bitachon in Mitzrayim and being able to translate belief into action. Let's look. In terms of action, A, they were willing to risk their lives in tying up the sheep for Karban Pesach to their bedposts for 4 days until it was actually shechted. They would subject themselves to the Egyptians' wrath when the Egyptians got wind of their intent to slaughter their gods. B, they were willing to go into the Midbar without provisions, surely a recipe for disaster and death. C, they were willing to turn around and go back towards Mitzrayim as Hashem commanded them. Imagine Lo Aleinu, a person who had managed by hook or crook to escape Auschwitz. He's running away for his life. Were he to be asked, okay, now turn around and go back towards Auschwitz, could you imagine doing that? They were also willing to jump into the raging Yam Suf with tidal waves before it had split. Additionally, the Jews were especially gifted with the power of dibur and kol as a form of significant maisa. After all, we are those to whom HaKol Kol Yaakov so magnificently applies. A, their inarticulate shriek without true words, vaye anhu vayiz aku, actually was the factor that started the entire Geula process. B, they sang out Hallel on the night of Makat Bechorot. Imagine being in lockdown mode at home, hearing the howling bedlam and pandemonium outside. They had no idea what was happening. They could have easily shut down emotionally, gone into a catatonic state, quivering at home in the face of the fearsome cries outside. Not only did they not shut down, they actually sang. C, they called out to Hashem to save them at the Yam Suf. D, they sang Shira when they were saved, though they had experienced mind-bending shifts from great fear of entrapment in the Yam Suf as they went in up to their noses before there was any bit of splitting occurring, to a virtual Gan Eden in the Yam itself with fruit trees and fresh water, etc., at the very same time and place that the Mitzrayim were experiencing a searing gas. Normally, this could make a person lose their minds. They cannot absorb such a radical shift. One can only sing when one truly has the clarity of Hakarat HaTov. As Rav Moshe Bamberger in his book on Hallel points out, song like Hashem, Kivyacho, is invisible, intangible, yet profoundly perceived. By singing in response to witnessing miracles, the person is trying to match the powerful spectacle of Hashem that he clearly sees before him. In order for us to sing Hallel on Seder night properly, we need true Hakarat HaTov, that is, an understanding in our heads and a joyous gratitude in our hearts. In fact, this is one of the main avodot of Leil Pesach. Before one can sing Hallel on Seder night, you have to have keenly understood all that happened in the Geula. You need to literally feel yourself becoming an Eved Hashem. And to do that, you have to look at it. This looking will prompt the Hakarat HaTov clarity, which triggers the singing and telling involved in our dibur of Kol HaMar B'Lesapeh HaReza Meshubach. And it is this Hakarat HaTov and clarity that will turn our Emuna B'Koach into our Emuna B'Maaseh, expressed personally in all the mitzvot of Pesach, and especially Seder night mitzvot, with all the zihirut as well as the zrizut demanded. All this we are to accomplish with a calm in the face of the challenges. So the process begins with our ideology, our emunah b'koach, and then requires a looking in detail at the critical elements of shibud v'yitziat Mitzrayim, events that we actually experienced as a nation. If we invest fully in looking, it will trigger a profound hakarat hatov of understanding and joyous gratitude, which then translates into a passion to do and to sing out our ultimate avoda of Tehilati Yisaperu through the heartfelt reciting of Hallel. Before we say the first two prakim of Hallel, which focuses on Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Haggadah presents Dayenu, which focuses on all Hashem's chasadim up to and including Binyan Beit HaMikdash. We then have the paragraph of Lefichach, following the focus on Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. Lefichach includes a shortened form of the Dayenu subjects, focusing on what Hashem actually did in Dayenu. And Lefichach gives us a clarity that in fact, Ani Hashem, that Hashem is a ne'aman to keep every iota of his promises. This then triggers the Hakarat HaTov of head and heart to then come with great love and passion to recite Hallel. We look in detail at every morsel and iota of good that Hashem did, taking us from the pits to the heights, not leaving anything out. Getting out of Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yam Suf, Eretz Yisrael, finally getting the Beit HaMikdash. As the Ramban asserts, the whole climax of Geula of Mitzrayim is so that V'shachanti B'tocham, making Har Sinai a permanent scenario. This is what Hashem actually did. Did he fulfill all he had promised to do? Well, let's see. Let's look at Va'era Pergvav Pasukvav, in which Hashem's promises begin and end with the statement Ani Hashem. Point by point, Hashem has kept every single one of his promises. Ad kedei kach, that when Shlomo has built the Beit HaMikdash, he makes the statement in Malachim Aleph, Perchet Pasuk Nun Vav. Baruch Hashem, asher natan menucha la'amo Yisrael, kechol asher diber, lo nafal davar echad, mikol dibro hatov, asher diber biyad Moshe avdo. May we all, with great simcha and tarat halev, be zoche to be mekayem the mitzvot of Leil Seder, and indeed be zoche to becoming true avdei Hashem.